Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special returning guest from Take Line and All Caps NBA. It's Jason Concepcion.
Hi.
Thanks for coming back.
It's wonderful to be here, of course. I will always come back.
Okay,
it's a delight. It's a delight to just be invited. Let's do it.
Every Sunday, same time.
We'll invite you every week, but you'll turn us down like 95% of the time.
We have fun though.
I am mad though because we booked you, got everything scheduled, sent you the invite, and then the NBA's like, Game one of Western Conference Finals.
I know.
Yeah, that's a bummer. And also, when we did book you, or when we first texted you, the Knicks were still in the playoffs, and we were like, Jason's got to be so excited.
Why do you have to bring that part of it up?
Sorry.
The rest of it was fine. It was like, you know, Adam Silver, he's so messy. They can't get it together. The scheduling and not like taking into account Dunktown schedule with the NBA scheduling is just like one more gaffe that the NBA has committed.
Exactly.
It's fucked up. Yeah. But we are, so the Suns Clippers game one is happening right now. We'll check in throughout the recording. If anything crazy happens, we may react.
It's 89-90 right now.
Whoa. And Suns are up by one.
Suns up by one. Playoff P. Call him by his name. He's on the line, and he's just tied it up for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, it's almost the fourth quarter.
So far, a couple observations.
Yes.
One, Boogie Cousins coming in hot. He's having a great game.
He is. And it's great to see him healthy and out there just being big.
Yes. Being a big, freckled gentleman.
Yes.
And two, Booker is wearing purple shoes. They're very cute.
They're cute.
Yeah.
Do we know what he drove to the arena
today?
That's
a good question.
Playoff P with the three.
Nice.
93-93. Tied up, end of the third.
I'm going to guess he drove a lavender Lambo.
Ooh.
No, I bet it's a Impala lowrider.
Have you that's been one of the fun things about the playoffs is Devin Booker's car collection. But I don't know, like it sucks driving those cars, those classic cars.
How many cars do you, first of all, how many cars does one guy need?
Who is he,
Jay Leno?
Hallelujah, what's the deal with you? Are you Jay Leno, Devin Booker?
I did see him in an all denim outfit.
Talking
to Kevin Eubanks.
chin expanding like by the quarter.
I'm not a car person. I don't understand it. Even one car is too much for me. That's why I bought a smart car, which is half a normal car.
Nice.
I can handle it. Park it anywhere, you know.
I would have two cars if I could, because I do want a classic car.
Right.
I do want an old car, but you can't depend on those for your daily driver.
It's old. Right. It falls apart.
So I would have a real modern, like, hybrid or something.
Yeah.
An electric car. And then I would have my, like, weekend hobby car.
What would your classic hobby car be?
Probably a Ford Falcon Ranchero. So,
whoa!
Okay. Let's see what this looks like.
So these were like, they have a truck bed in the back.
Wow.
They're kind of
so long.
They're very long. Yeah.
It's
but
like
they're so pretty.
Oh,
they're
yeah,
so pretty.
Man, it's tough. I once, like, just around the block when I was a kid, drove one of my like friends was really into, him and his dad were really into classic cars. And they got a, what is it? A satellite? It's like a Ford set or Galaxy. Sorry. Ford
Galaxy.
Yeah.
And those are giant.
And it's like, first of all, a chest workout just trying to steer it without the power of steering. It feels like you're moving, like you're trying to turn like a cruise ship into port.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I can't figure out like where, like the front and the back. It's just so big. I did take my driver's exam like in a Buick, something.
Yeah.
Just a huge car.
A big ass Buick.
But it absolutely sucks driving these cars. Like, it, I guess it looks great, but it's not as fun.
When I lived in San Francisco or in the Bay Area, I lived in Oakland at the time. I drove a 1969 Volvo station wagon with power steering.
Hell yeah.
And going up hills with a manual transmission and like no power steering and like trying to turn left up a hill. It was a nightmare.
That sucks.
My biceps look great though. So well, there's that.
That's a workout.
Yeah.
I love the two car life aspiration. It'd be great to have. I agree. It would be great to have. I would like to have some sort of like hybrid-y car and then like a scooter or something. Just to short jaunts to like the wherever.
Yeah.
You could have like a little like scarf over your head. Big sunglasses.
Right. And everything goes to black and white when I get on it.
You all of a sudden have a baguette under your arm.
It's amazing.
I love that. It's just like Master of None.
It is exactly like that. Pre issues before anybody knew anything about it, like season one, season two, Master of None.
Yeah. Just that weird like sepia tone, like that's what it looks like when you go to Italy.
So Jason.
Yes.
How are the playoffs going for you? Are you excited? I understand the heartbreak. We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I know we can talk about it. It was like one of those, it was like falling in love for the first time or like a relationship. It was like I learned a lot. It was painful, but I think I learned a lot about my team by their defeat at the hands of the very capable and dangerous Atlanta Hawks. I learned a lot about like the limitations of my team. And I think that that was good because, you know, the Knicks overperformed. They absolutely like went beyond everyone's expectations of them. And so they were a little bit inflated. It wasn't, and so it was good to get some sort of reality check going into an off season where, you know, the team has to make decisions about extending Julius Randle, what kind of personnel they want to bring in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what we learned about the team was we really need a point guard or some kind of playmaker, and that Julius Randle is really, really good. He's very good. He's better than everybody thought he was, but he's probably not the like best guy on a really good team. He's like the second best guy, you know, definitely the third best, but probably the second best. And so that's fine. I'm not mad at him, but we just need to like, you know, build the team appropriately.
Right. Right.
You need another like KD or something.
Yeah. You need a best guy.
KD, like it'd be great. That would be amazing. Like a KD level. I mean, and just somebody who can like, you know, who can handle the ball under pressure. I think, you know, part of the thing was that like Julius Randle averaged 6 assists over the course of the season. And that was because the Knicks don't really have a playmaker. It's kind of like everybody kind of just pass a lot. And Julius passed more effectively than he has in his entire career. 6 assists is a huge come up. But that was also kind of like a red flag that like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have someone who's just, that's their job is just to move the ball around and they're good at it and they can do it under playoff pressure? Because that was part of it was that like during the season where it's like people aren't paying attention that much, you know, Julius was very effective as a playmaker. But then you get in the playoffs and the Atlanta Hawks, their entire like job is like stop Julius Randle from doing things he likes to do. All of a sudden it becomes a lot harder. And it would have been great to have somebody with the ball in their hands who can get other people involved. You know, like Derrick Rose was arguably the team's best player at certain points, and he wasn't even with the squad for like the beginning of the season. And also, it's 32-year-old Derrick Rose. Like, he can't be your best player.
right.
And he's not a playmaker. So, you know, those are the issues that have been revealed. It was a great time. It was great to watch Knicks fans going absolutely bonkers and being like, we want Brooklyn after one playoff win and like, and like running into the streets like fame.
Did you get really mad at Trae Young?
I mean,
I did. De Blasio did.
De Blasio.
Did you send him like DMs? Like, you mother.
You mother. You son of a. No, I mean, I got mad in the sense that like, I wish he would stop doing everything that he was doing.
Yeah.
I just wish he would like miss any kind of shot or throw the ball out of bounds or do something bad or not hit a floater.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, he's really good. There's not, it's, what can you do? I was mad only at Spike Lee for dapping him up before games. I thought that was like, hey, just ignore him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that was the only thing that made me mad. But other than that, it's fine. Like, I was mad at the time, but it is gone now. It was a brief flash of anger, and now I've accepted it, and I'm just watching the playoffs. I'm enjoying all the crazy things that are happening. Dario Saric just got absolutely like Muay Thai elbowed in the face by Boogie Cousins.
Oh, wow.
It's a big elbow.
Yeah.
You don't want to get
on the business end of that elbow.
And it was in fairness to Boogie, it was not really his fault or anybody's fault, but it was definitely a big, bad elbow. Oh, this foul bay with the call. Foul bay, for your listeners who may not know, is David Guthrie, the referee, who is just great with his angles. That's all.
Yeah, you post photos of him on Twitter, and he's doing like an America's Next Top Model kind of pose.
Yeah. He's smizing.
He's like over his shoulder. Like.
Yes. And it feels. I gotta say, it really feels as if they talked to him and told him like chill, because he's not going hard in the paint like he used to.
Yeah.
He really just tried to make it his own, and he got reprimanded. So he did.
Yeah, I think that happened.
It's like, so rude, though. Yeah. Let the man shine into that camera, you know?
No fun league, the NBA.
Yeah, for real.
You can't contain creativity.
You can't do that.
So how are you doing with your new shows? Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been a lot of new stuff for you.
It's a big year, big time. It's a rocket ship to the stars. Get on. This is super. No, I don't know. It's been good.
We're looking at you in your cockpit.
Yes, I'm in the Gamergate arena.
Yeah, you got the lights. It looks great. You're like ninja practically.
We can't see your screen setup, but I assume there's like 20 screens you're looking. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. So I have, yeah, I have one. Do computers count as screens? So like one, two.
Of course. Four.
I have five screens right here.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. And a Nintendo Switch.
That's more
Switch.
Than Gabe.
Yeah.
I thought Gabe had a lot.
You outscreened Gabe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I have three, but one of them is vertical, so it's almost two screens.
How do you like the vertical screen, Gabe?
I actually find it more useful than I thought, but only when I do it like I just described, where I'm stacking things. Mm. I thought it would be really good for coding, but I'm really just moving my head up and down a lot, which is really bad ergonomically. So yeah. I like it for having a little like extra screen real estate without taking up too much desk real estate.
That makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
I only have one, like an idiot.
Yeah, I barely have one. I've got my laptop screen.
And you have your phones, so that's two.
That's true.
Yeah.
And a TV.
Yeah.
Three.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's popping up. You see? Everybody forgets the phone, but the phone is legitimately a screen.
Yeah.
True.
That shit adds up.
Yeah.
It does add up. My God.
But I work on a, like, I work all day, every day on my MacBook Air, and, like, I don't have even a screen with that.
It's yeah, it's good. So it's little.
It's like 10 inches across.
Yeah. But yeah, you're living the life, Jason.
It's the best. It's just incredible. What a life it is.
How's Renee? How's working with Renee?
It's been great. It's amazing. to be able to chat with her weekly about stuff. She's so knowledgeable. And of course, like, you know, a person who walks it like they talk it on the issues that are important to her and to her community and just to, you know, people at large. She's just been, it's been really awesome. It's been a really fun time. We're learning a lot. I think we're putting out good shows. And it's been a fun time. It's fun. And then hopefully the next step is, you know, I financially back Gabe as he creates his pod bay line of pod software. And then we sell that to some, you know, I don't know, Spotify or somebody for like millions of dollars. And then we cash out and then we... Gabe and I, and then we split like an island where and it'll be an island.
Wait, can we get in on that though? Because we're like part of the plan.
We're gonna split the island four ways.
We're gonna split. I don't want much of the island. I just want like
beach.
Yeah, maybe like a tiny little section of the beach. Just a tiny, you know.
We're gonna go four equal slices. In fact, I will take the smallest slice because I've only come late to this.
We should do this, and then we should film a reality show where we, it's like Survivor style, and we each get a quarter of the island.
It's called Pod Island.
Yeah. I love it. Pod Island.
We have to build our own shelter.
Yeah.
You know, go fishing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst shows up, puts us in a cage. Oh. Makes us stand on a block for hours.
Welcome to Pod Island.
I think this is actually a really good idea.
Yeah. I think people will want to watch it.
We should pitch this.
Yeah. Reality is huge.
There's a recording studio right in the center of the island.
Yeah.
In
we
a neutral
each
area.
Have to record every day. That's
what it is. That's part of it, is you have to record every day no matter what.
No matter what. Even if you're in the cage.
Even if you're like starving.
Yeah. Exactly. I think this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's call up Netflix.
Yeah, or History Channel, or one of the weird ones. Some of the only reality shows now.
Bravo. Do a TLC? They do it.
TLC
would want it. Worse. Yeah. Like the garbage is.
The most garbagey ones.
Yeah. Which are my favorites, of course.
That's what I would want.
Yeah.
All right, just a little check in. I'm seeing 95 to 103. Suns are up.
That's what I've got.
Lawler's Law might be in effect.
Ooh, Lawler's Law.
Uh-oh.
Gabe's Law was...
Wait, who got to 100 first, though?
Phoenix. Suns.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Devin Booker missing shots. And I got to tell you, I think it's because his arms are tired from driving those big boats to the arena.
That is probably true.
Yeah. He's got sore muscles.
They're like, dude, just have a driver drive you in.
Take an Uber X, man. What are you doing?
That's what I always say. If I ever get rich, I just want a driver that's like available to drive.
That's
me
it.
Yeah.
I don't need a fancy car.
We'll have one on Pied Island.
Oh. Yeah. If I was like Bezos level, like not even Bezos, that's too much. Like if you're in the billions, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to pay you $1 million a year to be my driver on call all the time because I don't want to drive anymore.
Yeah.
And if I'm like, guess what? We're going to New Orleans and we're driving. Get it ready. That's the kind of stuff that might happen.
Hell yeah.
But I'm going to pay you a salary that is a fucking absurd. It's like, it's obscene.
Yeah.
Like you'll drive me for 1 year and then retire on generational wealth. That's how we're doing it.
Yeah. That's great.
And it would have to be a party bus, of course. If we're going to New Orleans.
Stripper
I
pole.
Want my driver to be like the 10th richest person in the world when we're all said and done.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, that's really sweet. I think that is great. I think it's way better than those Downton Abbey people treated their driver.
Awful. They're terrible.
Or what about...
Sent him back to Ireland, didn't they?
Yeah.
What about Parasite?
Oh, yeah. Parasite. Yeah,
that was pretty bad, too.
Yeah.
You won't tell your driver he smells bad?
Oh, no. Oh. That was so sad.
That was really sad. That was extremely rude. You fucking jerk.
Remember when rich people were like, I don't get Parasite.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, what is the deal? So, like, this person breaks into their home? What's good about that?
We're supposed to root for them?
Well, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, yeah, what's cool about this?
Eat the rich.
All right, let's talk about some news here.
Yeah.
Come on.
What's going on? And I don't think much is going on in basketball.
Oh, nothing's
world.
Happened this
nothing's
week.
No, I can't. I'm racking my brain. I'm like,
There's not been any shocking turn of events. All right. So much happens in a week. Nothing this week, though. We can't possibly cover it all, so we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
Previously on Billions.
Basketball.
That was intense.
That was really intense.
All right. Whoosh me in. The Clippers make the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their 50-year franchise history.
Clip-clop.
It's Coach Mageddon as Pel's Stan Van Gundy, Wizards Scott Brooks, and Mavs Rick Carlisle all vacate their head coaching positions. Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely after suffering a reported ACL injury. Chris Paul is out indefinitely due to health and safety protocols. Team WNBA will face off against Team USA in the 2021 WNBA All-Star Game. Dirk Nowitzki is returning to the Mavs as a special advisor after a turbulent week shakes up the organization. New Celts DBO Brad Stevens trades Kemba Walker to OKC for Al Horford and Moses Brown. LaMelo Ball is named the 2021 Rookie of the Year.
All right, let's look at LaMelo's announcement.
Oh,
okay. The small photo of him though, like, what's happening with his face?
So he looks like he's in pain in the action shot, right? But he does have sparkles around him, so that's cute. And then,
could they not have chosen one where he looked more normal?
Maybe he always makes that face when he goes in for a layup.
Then pick a three-point photo.
It looks like a trapper keeper.
Yes. You know, like
oh, that's cute.
I was going to say, this looks like a heartthrob poster that you would put on your wall.
Like,
you know,
Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, that's going to be on my wall, you know?
He's, like, looking over his shoulder with a big smile, like, aren't I a cutie?
No, that photo is great. That's a great photo.
And it's a really, really great photo. What a fun player and a fun year for him.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
Did you see his recent Black Widow commercial with his brother?
I did not see it.
So Lonzo and LaMelo are driving, and LaMelo's like, You're lost. You missed a turn. Like, he's like yelling at Lonzo, who's in the driver's seat. And Lonzo's like, come on, we're fine. And then all of a sudden, Black Widow, I don't know anything about them, but I guess, and her sister.
Yes, that's her sister.
They pull up Florence Pugh. They pull up in a car next to them and like do like a crazy evasive maneuver to get rid of like a missile or something that was after them. And then Lonzo goes like, see, that's what siblings should be like, work together.
Wow. That makes me, I hope they get a chance to play together.
It would be cool.
It would be cool. I'm sad that I missed that incredible synergy from, from Disney. They've done it yet again.
Yeah, perfect. No notes.
Yeah, no notes.
No notes. Thank you. Zero notes for me on the corporate synergy.
Yes. Let's look at this tweet from Mark Cuban.
Ooh.
Okay, so recently article came out about Bob Vulgaris.
Vulgaris,
who is... what's his official title even? I can't remember.
He's like the director of analytics and muckety muck something. Like the director of crypto research into player development algorithm, something like that.
Yeah. He was a professional sports gambler and...
Which is a job.
Yeah. And apparently this article came out about how he doesn't get along with Luca and yeah. that he has way more power within the organization than we know. And Mark Cuban responded, total bullshit.
Yes, this was It was written by my friend Tim Cato over at The Athletic, and it's certainly something that people have been like talking about in NBA circles for a while, is like the role of Bob Vulgaris within the organization. He's mm-hmm. a prickly character. He made his money, we think, as far as we know, from like gambling, like by himself, you know, like just in front of a computer. He's not like a he's not a people person, and from all reports, he's just kind of a dick and very arrogant and doesn't know, you know, it's not necessarily what he says but how he says it, and that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And then with the fact that you know, it's unclear how much power he has in the organization, it's just a very kind of like shadowy situation, which Mark Cuban responded to the report by saying that it was total bullshit. And then like, just a really weird thing to say, considering that tweet had like a 14-hour lifespan before all the things that were in the report basically came true.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then shortly after Don Nelson leaves, fired, I'm not really sure. He leaves the organization. And then shortly after that, Rick Carlisle leaves the organization.
And both had been, you know, it's like Donnie Nelson had been with the team for like 24 years.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle had been the coach for 14, which is like kind of like absurd. Like that's like an unheard of amount of time in like sports, forget the NBA. So it was pretty crazy that all of that happened, like basically all at once. And then Bob is like posting on his Instagram from like some beach somewhere, the beach that we is basically aspirational, like Dunktown / Gabe / JC like dreams. He's like posting from some beach with like with his dog, and it's just like clear blue Pacific water, and that is what we want to do. That's where we want to be soon.
We'll figure it out. It's gotta be like maybe around Bora Bora or something, like in that general area. You guys okay with that?
Yeah, I mean that's fine by me. I think, you know, Bob maybe is just keeping an island warm for us.
Right. Just like keep it warmed up so we don't have to go in and start it up from like cold. Yeah.
Exactly.
So what did they bring Dirk in to do?
Well, the reports were that Luca was a little bit upset that he wasn't consulted. I guess, one, he likes Donnie Walsh. Mm-hmm. He was fond of him. Donnie, of course, drafted him. Yeah. And two, you know, as a superstar, and as superstars are want to do, they would love some input. They would just love to know what's happening in the organization that they work for, and that they also are responsible for, like making a contender just all by themselves. So I guess reports were that he was upset that he wasn't consulted, didn't know about it, found out about it on Twitter. And
so he found out about it when we found out about it, which seems shitty.
Yeah.
Yes. That can't be fun.
No.
And then Luca's also very fond of Dirk, and, you know, it relishes the association with Dirk, playing for the same franchise that Dirk made his legend at. Mm-hmm. And so it's seems like, and what is being reported is that they brought Dirk in to be like the Luca whisperer.
Liaison. Like,
just be like, make sure Luca isn't upset about anything all the time.
Also, which I gotta, maybe
that's a good job, because they better be nice to Luca, because pretty soon he could be, you know, wearing a Utah Jazz jersey.
He could be in a Lakers jersey, as everyone on Twitter keeps doing.
Okay. A lot of Photoshop
Everyone
experts
needs to stop
in the Lakers fan base.
Lakers. Yes, please stop photoshopping Lakers jerseys on every single player. It's like embarrassing. How is that not embarrassing?
I think it's funny. I think they need to start doing it more, to the point where it's like someone on the bench who's never played minutes, put a Lakers jersey on him.
Yeah, every time a team gets eliminated, every single player gets their own Photoshop. Even the ones who are injured or never play.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it. I think that they should go, like, they should make, like, deep fakes with Luka, like, on the bench for the Lakers so that it's, like, full motion and you can see what's going on. That's what I think they should do. Like, let's take it to the next level.
Yeah, they should put Luka's face on Alex Caruso. Ooh. Him out there with the boys.
That would be really funny.
But, yeah, they better keep him happy because...
They better!
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I love the Mavs. It's hard to love the Mavs when their front office has been garbage for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
it's been horrible. Like, all that harassment stuff that happened, like, a long time ago.
Truly terrible.
Yeah,
horrible. That was,
so that, just to catch everyone up on that. Mm-hmm. So the Mavs had two individuals that worked for the team. One was a sexual harasser with numerous credible accounts and charges against them by Mavs employees, and the second one was a domestic abuser with actual, like, legal charges against them. Part of the reason first of all, they remained employed with the Mavericks for a long time into Cuban's reign, and Cuban was aware of the stuff that was going on, but then didn't fire him. And then when he said why he didn't fire the people, at least for the person who is a domestic abuser, he said, well, we felt like if we fired them, we wouldn't be able to keep an eye on them. They would then go out into the world and, I guess, like, be able to, like, domestic abuse and sexually harass, like, outside of our ability to observe and keep a lid on it, you know,
that's idiotic.
It's so stupid. It's like, so I'm just going to limit the damage to my own employees. Yeah. Like, you know, like, yeah. rather
and
than.
Because he's not stopping it.
Right. He's not stopping it.
It's easier to keep an eye on it when it's right next to me.
I just want to watch it.
It is among the more. It's so idiotic. And it's also like, what are these guys, like, fucking supervillains? Like, if you release them, it's going to be, they're going to go, like, across the world and just, like, a ramp. Like, no, just like.
I mean, they probably would because that's how that works. Like, yeah, if they get ousted, like, from their jobs and their communities and stuff, they just move somewhere else and start it over. But what, like, keeping them around doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Yeah,
it's idiotic.
It's clearly just an excuse.
Yeah.
And yes.
You know what? Mark Cuban, you know, you're on the billionaire list, buddy, and you're on my shit list.
Yeah.
Whoa! I'll tell you what. I'm just going to put it out there. Mark Cuban is on the billionaire list. He sold, I believe it was like radio.com or something to, like, Real Player, like, back in the
day. Man.
Whoever it was, like, he sold something to Yahoo or somebody and he made it like a couple billion.
Yes.
And he did something before that too. I got to tell you what, that was like 30 years ago at this point. Like, what have you done for me lately? Shark Tank is fine. Cyberdust, remember Cyberdust? Cyberdust came and went. That's gone.
What was it?
Cyberdust was a messaging app. Mm. You know how when you message somebody and then you're like, I don't want anybody to read my messages because I'm a sexual harasser. Right. I don't want them to be able to save it. I want it to disappear as soon as I send them a harassing text. That was,
like,
Cyberdust.
Telegram.
Yes.
Great. Yeah.
And so during the time that Mark Cuban was hyping up Cyberdust, this is not that long ago, it was maybe 3-4 years ago, he was like, would only be contacted. He's like, you have to contact me by Cyberdust. Like, Woj, like, Ramona Shelburne, like, if you want, like, Brian Windhorst, if you want to fucking talk to me, you got to sign up for Cyberdust and you got to get at me through Cyberdust. Cyberdust is fucking gone now. Not only so the messages would disappear. Does this stop people from screenshotting? Of course not. But the messages would disappear after a while. Well, now the whole app has disappeared. So what's happened there, Mark? I don't know. I just kind of feel like the guy, he hit the lotto 30 years ago and then what's he done since?
You're right. I mean,
I hate it. I'm out.
He doesn't have to do anything else because he's already richer than
his money's just making money.
The money is unbelievable.
I did meet him one time. He came to my college and gave a speech about how great he was and how we could someday be just as great as him. But I've since been radicalized. And a normal person cannot become a billionaire without standing on the backs of people.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
He must be doing some fucked up shit, or he must have done some.
Well, I think maybe what happened with CyberDes was he had to fire the two guys that were using it the most, the sexual harasser and the domestic abuser. So
yeah, he was like, guys, I have the perfect app for you. Tell all your weird friends. Yeah, all right, let's look at this video of Clippers celebrating after Game 6 versus the Jazz.
Woo! Wow. Okay, Terrence Mann with his cool seafoam green shoes walks in, and they destroy him with water.
I love it. What an amazing
and
historic thing.
Oh. They're so
happy for them.
Yeah,
first, you know, a conference finals in history. Amazing.
Hell yeah.
And after
we're going.
Yeah, we're gonna go on Thursday. Can't wait.
We have to see it with our own eyeballs, even though we will be like 4 miles away.
We'll need binoculars.
we should
get binoculars, actually.
It's like going to a play.
But after Kawhi went out with an ACL, which actually I watched that game when he injured his knee. And afterwards, he was talking, was doing the interview after the game. And I can't remember who was interviewing him, but she said, "How's the knee? You look like you tweaked it a little bit." And he said, "Nah, I'll be good."
Yeah, it seems like nothing. That's legitimately what he says. "Nah, I'm good." Like,
he can compartmentalize his pain. And drive for excellence.
So everyone was like, "Oh shit, he's gone. That means the Clippers are going to lose." And then look at what they did.
I gotta say,
playoff he stepped up.
It is interesting and perhaps a little intriguing. Obviously, ACL, very serious injury. We don't know if it's sprained. They've been very tight-lipped about it. We don't know if it's sprained. We don't know if it's torn. We know it's partially torn. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of good news, I guess, that they haven't said that it's torn, right?
Right.
Because then leaves the possibility out that it's maybe just like sprained or something.
I'm having flashbacks to when KD was on the Warriors and he hurt his ankle and they wouldn't say what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then he, you know, tried to go back out and play, and it was like, oh yeah, it's an Achilles injury. And so part of me is like, are they not saying because they don't want to give the rest of the team doubt?
Right.
You know, they want them to think, oh, we got to win this for him. So when he comes back.
Right. It's a good thought. I wonder myself, I guess like the big question is there a world in which he is like potentially like available?
Right.
Suns just won.
Whoa.
Woo.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Well, that's okay. You know,
I mean, those are both your guys.
They're both my teams. Look, here's what I'm feeling about the Clippers Suns Western Conference Finals. I'm
loving
so
it.
Proud of both of them. And if either of them goes on to the finals, I'll be really, really happy.
Well, one of them will.
Yeah, one of them for sure will.
If either of them goes on, I'll be happy. And so I honestly can't, you know, complain, but I'm also nervous and sad for both of them.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I gotta say, I'm just happy for the Clippers fans who have been through so much and so many devastating debacles that even in a postseason where they lose their best player, where they invited a matchup with the Mavericks and then almost blew it.
Yeah.
That despite all that, they are here in their first conference finals in franchise history because they beat a absolutely fraudulent Utah Jazz team. A fraudulent team.
Wow.
Fraudulent. Like, every Utah Jazz fans, they're great. They were complaining all season. Nobody takes us seriously. This is why. Because it's like, shouldn't you guys have won this against a team that's missing a top, like, five player in the NBA? Anyway. Right.
Yeah. And poor Kawhi. I mean, he worked so hard. Now he doesn't get to be part of it anymore.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him.
Even though they did say that, so in game six that they won, you could see him, like, very clearly being active in talking to people and stuff. And they did say in this game, so he did not travel to Phoenix with the team,
right?
Which is probably good. Let him heal up. But I can't remember if it was Ty Lue who said this or someone was saying it about Ty Lue. He may be getting a call from Kawhi at halftime. Oh,
really?
Like, Kawhi is still very much so, like, communicating with everyone and
I love that.
Giving his input.
That is wonderful, and I hope that that is the case, because as we know of Kawhi, he's a laconic individual.
Right. Can you imagine talking on the phone with him?
Oh my God, I wish.
I know, I want to do it. I wish that was happening.
Jeremy Jones, we got him on the phone right now. Gabe, touch him.
Gabe, bring him in.
I'm just kidding. I wish.
Imagine making him laugh. Like, that feels like it would be such an accomplishment.
Oh,
it would be the coolest. I'd be like, wow, you can make him laugh.
Yeah. Like,
oh my God, you just made me think of another reality show idea called Make Kawhi Laugh. It's a bunch of comics. It's kind of like, what was the comedian reality competition show?
Last Comic Standing.
But it's all you're doing is trying to make him laugh. That's it.
It's just cuts to shots of him in the audience, like,
just dead face. Yeah. You know what I love? I love when they go to when Kawhi was healthy, when they would go to he'd be on the bench and they'd go to the camera on the bench and they'd show him. And he legitimately looks like fully, like a powered down robot, like fully. Like, he was just like dead eyed, like, with his mouth like partially open and just kind of staring like at nothing. It's like, oh my gosh, what an interesting human being he is.
For real.
I'm obsessed with him. We talk about it all the time. We're like, imagine like going out on a night on the town with him. It'd be,
where would
it'd
you
be
go? Like, what would it be? I have very little like gauge for things that would interest Kawhi Leonard. I don't know.
Okay.
Like,
we start at a paella restaurant. Okay. Whoa! We're having fun. We're having so much fun tossing all the, you know,
you get one of those giant.
Yes.
Okay.
Giant.
Do you order for him, or does he order for you, or how? Or do you just kind of like?
We're with a group. You know, you got to have a ton of people.
It's family style.
It's like a huge pot of paella, and we're feeding each other. I'm giving him a little shrimp.
Yeah. You do the thing where you like kind of get your fork and try to throw catapult the shrimp at him, and he catches it in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're trying to do some like.
Like hibachi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some, he's like, Agata, how did you find this place? Where did you find this place? It's magical.
Just, you know, Yelp.
Yeah, she's active on Yelp, you know. And then
I'm a Yelp, what is it called? VIP or something?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Or like MVP?
What is that?
Something like
remember.
That.
Yeah. And then dessert. Are you going for drinks afterward? What happens?
Okay,
then?
So yes. So for dessert, we're going to Somi Somi, which is my favorite ice cream place in Koreatown. Okay. They have these like fish shaped like, what is it?
Pancake?
It's not pancake because it like holds the ice cream, but it's not really a cone. But it's kind of like a cone, but it's shaped like a fish. And they have like black sesame ice cream, which is my favorite.
Ooh.
Or matcha. And you can get like custard or Nutella if you want to get crazy. It's really hard to eat. It drips all over you. So he's going to be like, look in the bottom.
Big hands too. Think about how tiny the ice cream like would look in his hand, in his gigantic hands.
Is it like that?
Yes.
It's like taiyaki.
Show them if they can see it. Like, that's a, So you like open it up and you put ice cream inside. It's amazing. And then we go out for karaoke.
I wonder if he would want to see the new Fast Nine.
Oh, that's
when
a good
that one. Comes out.
That's a good one.
Yes, yes. Okay, we're gonna go to the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We keep drinking. We watch Fast Nine, and then we hit a karaoke bar.
That sounds like a great night.
And we stay up till 5 a.m. baby.
And then, so like Kawhi, what, you know, why don't you sing? I'm not, he's just a guy that likes to watch, but do you think like maybe, I don't know, are we coaxing Kawhi into like maybe doing, I don't know.
I would love that. If we could get him to a drunk level where he's going to be like, singing Usher or something.
Or it's like, maybe it's a group
climax,
song.
That- Climax by Usher. Yeah. Imagine Kawhi Leonard singing Climax by Usher, but like two octaves down.
That sounds great. Or You Got It Bad, you know. Like any classic Usher song will do.
Also, I wonder if he knows all the words to Pony. Genuine's Pony.
That'd be good.
I just assume he does for some reason.
Mean, everyone does.
Because that would be a good like group. Everyone's singing together. It's like you don't have to get up there by yourself. Yeah. Kawhi.
We leave, the sun's coming up.
Yeah.
That's the perfect night.
What a man. That's an incredible, what a dream that would be.
So last night, right? Yes. Last night the Bucks beat the Nets. Time feels weird. Did. So I was like, was that last night? It feels so long ago.
That was a crazy game. And it went into overtime, which I guess is like the first time that's happened in a very long time. Mm-hmm. For that
game. 15 years.
Game seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. But one particular thing that was very cute was, you know, it was getting a little chippy with PJ Tucker and KD. Mm-hmm. And Katie's mom, Wanda, might have had some words for PJ. Let's watch this video.
Matchup with Durant, so important defensively for the Bucks. So,
the Bucks now over the foul of it.
So apparently what Wanda said is, this is basketball, this ain't football, because PJ had just like PJ's knocked over.
He's a very physical individual.
And then PJ Tucker responded, "I love you," and Wanda responded, "I love you too."
I love that kind of
cute.
It's so cute. It is really. I love that level of competition. Also, there were so many moments in the game where it's like there'd be some kind of stoppage, somebody be taking a foul shot, whatever, and then PJ and like Katie would be like arguing about something, but like in a way that wasn't. There was no like animosity. It was just like. It was just like almost like the way you might like argue about like directions or like a thing to argue like at a restaurant. It was just really interesting to watch that, to watch those interactions. And it was really fun. Man, KD, he was depleted. He was totally gone at the end of it.
He looks so sad too.
I mean,
he
honestly,
tried so hard.
I'm impressed with the just number of minutes he played alone.
It was crazy.
And then how physical he had to be during this series.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, first of all, impressed because last year he had a Achilles injury. Yeah. But also because the stamina of that. I mean, I just can't even, could you imagine if they had won? And had to go on and play another series.
No.
I mean, you'd have to put him, like, after the game five where he had, what was it, like 40, 49, 17, 10, 3, and 2, and played every single minute of the game and did everything. And that was, I think, the Nets, I don't think the Nets bench scored in that game. Like, which is just a crazy thing that happens. Like, I think they needed to put him, like, in some kind of, like, cryo chamber. Like,
seriously.
He just looked absolutely incredibly beyond exhausted at the end of game seven.
Well, we're proud of you, KD. You put in the work, okay? You did it, and we're proud of you. So just take a big, deep breath and wait until next season, because you're going to be back.
Buddy. Yeah.
You're going to be back, baby.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And the team was good, and you guys played really well through the playoffs. So, you know, next year, who knows? It could be up in the air again, the way it was this year. All right, let's quickly check in with Jokic real quick to see what he's been up to.
It's got to be horse. Horses got to be involved. Yeah.
So Jokic is in his little chariot behind Dreamcatcher, just cruising around the track.
I love it.
He's in like a Nike shirt. He just looks so chill.
He's having him and Dreamcatcher reunited.
So beautiful.
Sweet story. I love it.
There was also photos of him just like feeding Dreamcatcher an apple and like sitting next to his stable. And like, he honestly just looks like he's living the life.
Amazing.
I love it so much. I'm a big animal person myself, and I just love, how much he loves horses. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's adorable. Sure, we'll see him again very soon. Let's move on to cutie comment of the week. So every week we highlight the best/funniest/cutest comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. Woo! It's our cutie comment of the week.
Now to leave a great comment.
This week's comment is from Anton Squared Me. Let's see. Okay, so Dan, his real name's Dan.
Yeah.
He created a whole bracket for what is the best fruit.
So this started because Gabe made the claim that lemon was a B-tier fruit.
Yes.
And it caused a huge argument in our Cutie Nation Discord about lemons.
Can you zoom in a little, Gabe? Okay. So, what? You know, we went through the bracket. To be fair, I was very upset that, sorry, Dan, because I already got mad at you about this, but my favorite fruit is not on here at all, which is mango. And I think that's bullshit. Okay. Tomatoes on here, but no mango.
Are we counting it?
Okay. Tomato and avocado are technically fruit. And so Dan wanted to be fair and put in some technically fruits in there. But it did also cause a huge stir.
Yeah, people got very upset, understandably.
This fruit off, the unofficial Dunktown fruit off, actually was a huge ordeal in the Cutie Nation Discord the past couple of weeks. Lots of arguments.
Gabe, did you put that quote on there?
No, so every week... Every time
I just said that.
You did just say that.
You did repeat this, but you also said it in the Discord.
Okay.
The quote is, I already got mad at Dan for this, Agata.
Which is true.
But every day he would put a new quote when fruit would get eliminated. Yeah.
So pineapple won. Congratulations to the victor.
Banana almost won, and Gabe fought so hard to get banana out of there.
Really? Why? What's wrong with banana? I gotta say,
I'm a banana hater.
Yeah, he's a hater.
He can't even be in a room with banana, but I love banana. I eat banana like crazy.
I love banana.
Here's a great thing about banana. It comes with its own like carrying case.
Right.
Yeah. Easy.
And simple. Unlike pineapple or, you know, even avocado, it comes right out. Like you don't need specialized tools to get in there and get into it. And then that peel, it's like an endless source of comedy and has been for years and years and years. You put it on the ground.
Yes.
And you wait for somebody to slip on that banana peel and everybody laughs every time it happens.
Also,
Three Stooges, baby.
What I mean, even more than that, you can talk on it like a telephone, you know, and then Beef Watson in our Cutie
Thank
Nation Discord used it as a cigar one time.
Yes.
You can practice putting a condom on it.
You can practice putting a condom on it when there is like a one of my favorite tweets that I have no idea who did this tweet, some random person, and it's years ago now, but it was something like new hot guy at the office, excuse me, I've got to go eat a banana near his desk.
That's
and
right.
So there's that whole application with it.
Yeah. That's true. I mentioned that when I eat a banana, I just like pull chunks off of it because I don't want anyone to like walk by my cube at work. And
yeah, you don't want to give the freaks any ammo.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't give the freaks ammo, but
take a mental picture.
But if you are attracted to someone,
you have that there. And it's, I'm just saying, it's a very, there's a lot of wrinkles. There's a lot of, it's like a Swiss Army fruit, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to be eligible for Cutiecomer of the Week, you have to join our Cutie Nation Discord, sign up on our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. You do have to put this much effort into it, you know, start a new bracket that you
honestly
maintain every day.
There's talented, devoted people in there who are doing wild stuff where I'm like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to commit to this?
That's true. We love it. And also, everyone's bringing their, like, wives and...
Yeah, we've had two spouses join recently.
Wow. It's, I think it's up to three or four
now. Oh, it's three
now.
That's
beautiful. Got a new one today. So,
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, get your partner in here, you know?
Yeah.
You guys have always brought people together, and now you're doing it in a different way through a different platform, and I think that's fantastic.
That's so nice. Thank you. Oh. We are waiting for our first Cutie Nation marriage, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
We want two people to fall in love. We want to watch it happen.
Yes.
And then we'll officiate the wedding.
Yes.
Wait, has that happened to you, like, with your, like, binge mode fans?
Yes, there's at least one marriage that I know about, there's definitely several relationships.
Wow.
So cute.
It's amazing. It's a really humbling thing to be, like, to be in some way involved in the creation of love.
I love that.
Bringing people together.
Did they invite you to the wedding?
I think we did. Yes, we did get invited to the wedding.
Amazing.
That's so sweet.
I know.
Can't wait till that's us.
Gata wants to be invited to every wedding. She may not go.
We talked about making a Patreon tier where we were the officiants of your wedding.
Yeah.
We'll fly anywhere.
Yeah. Pay us, you know, $1,000 and pay for our plane tickets.
Yeah.
That's not bad. We'll offline this, but I think you gotta up the price, guys. I think
that's
a little too, I think it's a little too low for y'all, but we can talk about it. We don't have to do it on the air.
All right. We'll figure out the details.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But okay. So our next stretch goal is 125 patrons. We want to do an opening night watch along Space Jam 2. That's right on the corner.
So coming up so fast.
Yeah. So, you know. Sign up if you have it. We'd love to have you. And if you want to send us something for our mail basket, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or leave a message on our cutie hotline, 903-420-DUNK. Tell us about what's going on with your team, your players, all of it. All of it. Oh, Anastasia's mom's calling. Answer it.
I know why my mom's calling, because Gata and I saw In the Heights on Thursday, and I immediately called my mom Friday morning and was like, you have to see it. My mom's Cuban. She lived in New York for part of her childhood.
Oh, yeah. It will hit her in the heart place then, for sure.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, I got tickets for Sunday. I'll call you afterwards. So I think she just got out of In the Heights.
Okay. Can't wait to hear what she's got to say. Jason, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
for
having me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Listen, Take Line every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch All Caps NBA every Friday on the Take Line YouTube channel. And listen to Dunktown. They're the best. Aww. They're bringing people together. They're creating love matches. And listen, if that happens to you, if you're struck by Cupid's arrow and you want to honor them and their role in your burgeoning love life, have these wonderful ladies just wedge you together with your partner.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Ugh, I love that.
We'll make it legal.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Whatever style wedding you want, we'll get into it. We'll dress up, you know?
Yeah. Well, ooh.
Want us to be Elvises? We'll be Elvises.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, what? Like Star Wars? What do people have for wedding themes?
Star Wars is a good one. Wow. Have you guys been Star Wars?
I'll be Chewbacca. You'll be Princess Leia.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. All right. Thanks to all our cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. I'm on Twitter at @echo_mint and on Instagram at @agatamonica. Anastasia is on both at @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Tomingus for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.